All right, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 2. I want you to read with me out loud, only this one verse at this time, everyone now. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. It's amazing how pointed the teachings in Proverbs actually are. And tonight, the Bible study that I want to bring, the lessons from Proverbs, is simply this: the tongue of the wise. Of course, we're not talking about the physical muscle. God will put a picture like this. He talks about the lips of the righteous, or the eyes of this, or the tongue of that. It's talking about what is produced with it. And so that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. So Heavenly Father, teach us now from your word. I pray that you would help us to be good listeners, because I don't know of anybody in Timberline Baptist Church that doesn't want to have a wise tongue. So I pray, Father, we could pick up some truth tonight that would be good for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's very important that a Christian know how to properly use language. And we're living in a day and age when language has gone down the tubes, even with God's people. All kinds of language is used by God's people, and I don't approve of it, and I don't use it. And others don't have a problem with it, and I personally believe they should have a problem with it, but they don't. I'm not just talking about refraining from cursing, though, or telling an inappropriate joke. I am talking about our everyday language. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 2 adds some light to the subject of a Christian's language. God wants us to learn how to use what we know properly, because we all have a certain amount of knowledge, every one of us. In one way or another, we have a knowledge that we can use, and God wants us to use it wisely. And if you'll look again at verse number 2 of Proverbs 15, let me just read it for you again with that emphasis. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. That's a strong statement. It says, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. If we are to become what we have been saved to become, and all of us have, none of us have arrived, all of us have a journey in front of us to become more of what God has saved us to become, we're going to have to know how the importance of having wisdom, not only in the answers that we give, but also in the language that we use. You see, sometimes the right answer can be given with the wrong wisdom, and people are not willing to follow it. And so tonight we want to look at that. In a nutshell, Proverbs 15:2 is simply saying that all those who are wise will use their knowledge well. Whatever God has given you, whatever you have learned, a wise individual will use that knowledge properly. That's a wise individual, but a fool is going to be careless with their words and disregarding the end result of their carelessness. And, you know, I think sometimes it's all in the emphasis of your syllables sometimes, in the way that you say things to people. imagine somebody looking at you saying, I like your hair that way. That's a compliment, isn't it? I like your hair that way. But what about this? I like your hair that way. What does that mean? That means the way you used to wear it, I don't like. Different things like that. We can say things wrongly that may be the truth, but we'll say them wrongly. One of the worst things that happens is what goes on the internet. You know, you can't read emotion into an email or a text. It's hard to do unless they used to say that all capital letters meant that they're yelling at you on the internet. If you've ever received a text that's been all capitalized, all capital letters, first thing you wonder is, are they yelling at me? Well, hopefully they're not. But it's hard to read emotion into what is written down on a page. What is said may be absolutely 100% accurate, but maybe it's said improperly. And so, what I want you to look at here, if you would please, and I decided not to do something to you that I almost did. And when I think about the word fool, did you know it's used 49 times in the book of Proverbs alone? I thought about listing 49 verses, but I decided against it. You can look it up in your own, in your own concordance, if you'd like to do that. Or if you have a Bible program on your phone or on your tablet or on your computer, you can do the counting and pull all those verses up yourself. But I think it's interesting, the Proverbs talks about a fool 49 times. Think about that. In all the chapters that are there, 49 times the word fool is used. And this kind of fool that is talking about here, because the word fool has many different meanings in the Old Testament. Different words are used for the word fool or foolish or whatever. And this particular fool has no regard for what is right. No regard of doing things rightly. No regard for saying things rightly. No regard for being honest or whatever it might be. He is filled with self-righteousness and impiety. That's just the way it doesn't matter to him. He says it's right even if it's wrong, you see. His decisions are made from his own desires and not from the desires in the Word of God or the desires of anyone else. Everything is on him. I, me, my, and mine. And I know of no one in this room who desires to be that kind of a fool or any kind of a fool for as far as that goes. God emphasizes the word fool in this one book 49 times. But there are still many believers today who are careless with the knowledge that they have. You see, they're careless with the words that they use. And it must mean that if we're going to use knowledge aright, it has to be done on purpose. It doesn't happen by accident, you see. And God wants us not to be as the fool, but as one who speaks wisely and uses the knowledge that we have wisely. It doesn't talk about having a lot of knowledge because all of us are still in the process of learning. Every single one of us are in the process of learning. So we don't know it all yet. We are in the process of learning. But you're supposed to learn, and the more you learn, you use that knowledge aright, the Bible says, and it has to be done on purpose. And so, with that in mind, are there ways that we can use our knowledge aright? Yes, there are. And I want to give you some practical uses of that tonight, and I want you to consider them seriously for your own life. Okay, not for someone else's life, but I'd like for you to take these suggestions that I'm going to give you tonight for yourself personally. Number one, the wise will use his knowledge to warn, W-A-R-N. The wise will use his knowledge. He will use it to warn those. I read a good thing today. A fellow said, I saw a woman riding by on a bicycle, and I said, cow! And she was mad and had all kinds of hand gestures she'd give to him. And without looking, she ran into the cow that was right in front of her. So maybe he should have added some words to that. I saw another one that said a fella held up a sign on a road that said the end is near, and people made fun of him until they drove over the cliff just past him. You see, we have to learn to use the knowledge that we have rightly. And a wise individual are going to use their knowledge to warn people, first of all, to the sinner of his future, the unsaved of his future. I'm going to go to Ezekiel, and if you want to go there, you may. But I'm going to read for you some very important verses in the Old Testament that are a good principle. And I'm looking at Ezekiel chapter 3. We're going to get a couple of references from there. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. And listen to what the wise individual does. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. In other words, if you refuse to warn somebody, God will hold you accountable. But if you warn somebody and they don't pay heed to you, it's no longer your responsibility. And so it takes us back to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, where the Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He that wrangleth for those souls, he that warns those souls, the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. And so we're talking here about the wise individual that uses his knowledge to warn the wicked or warn the unsaved that there is a hell, a real literal fiery burning hell that they need to be saved from going to. And that's why I encourage you as my church family to be a witness wherever you go. And to carry gospel tracts with you wherever you go, and to hand those out wherever you go, no matter what you do, when you go to a restaurant, when you go into a restroom, and you can leave a tract on the sink counter there, or whatever it might be. And so what we need to do is be warning. That's how we use the knowledge. Somebody said, if you really believe in hell, you'll be warning people of it. And I believe that's really, really true. And we have to ask ourselves, literally, and not figuratively, but literally, when was the last time we warned anybody about hell? But not only that, but we need to also be warning the backslider of his fate. You know, they say, well, it's just their life. You got to live and let live. We're in Ezekiel chapter 3, and I want to go to verses 20 through 21. We just read verses 18 and 19. Now listen to verses 20 and 21. Again, when a righteous man, now, you might want to write this in your Bible. When the Bible uses the word righteous, it's talking about his position. When it speaks of righteousness or righteousnesses, it's talking about his practice. So we're talking here about a saved individual and the things that he does. Now let me read it to you with that. When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, when a saved man turns from his righteous living, decides to backslide, walk away from God, whatever you want to call it. No, he doesn't become unsaved because he's kept by the power of God, the Bible says. And shame on anybody that thinks the backslider is going to lose his salvation, because he can't lose his salvation. It's called eternal life. And God said that he says you can forget that you were saved, but you cannot ever lose the fact that you're saved or lose your salvation. So when a saved man doth turn from his good works, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. Now remember the meanings of the words that I gave you, righteous and righteousness and righteousnesses. It says, his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. So listen, as a Christian, you're supposed to help people to understand they're headed down the wrong road. Nothing wrong with a parent saying, you're making the wrong decision. You're going down the wrong road. I've said things like that to my own children. Did they always listen? No. Did your children always listen? No. Did your grandkids always listen? No. But you still have the responsibility to say that's not a good road for you to go down, you see. And also this, not only are we to use our knowledge to warn the sinner of his future and the backslider of his fate, but also the Christian of others' folly. Warn them of others' folly. You have your Bible there? I'd like you to see these verses. Ezekiel may have been tougher to get to, but you know exactly where Philippians chapter 3 is. And I want you to go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. And the Bible says, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me.
Oh, I don't follow men, I only follow Jesus.
No, Paul said you follow him as he follows Christ. And like Roger Carr said to me years ago, I follow the pastor as long as the pastor follows the master. Amen and amen. But Paul said, and let me read it again, he says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things. But also, not just Philippians, but 2 Timothy 4 and verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, and the Lord reward him according to his works. Alexander, we don't find in the Bible he was an unsaved man. We just find he was a troublemaker in a local church. Alexander the coppersmith was a troublemaker. Others were troublemakers. Didn't say they were lost. It said they were troublemakers within a local church. And the Apostle Paul warned them of their folly. Okay, and what's another way that we can use our knowledge? First of all, to warn, but secondly, the wise will use his knowledge to encourage. I love this. He will use his knowledge to encourage. Ephesians 4, please. And as you're turning to Ephesians 4, many years ago in my home church, there was a man there that was respected and loved by many. His daughter and son were in the youth group that I was a part of. And so I know that after I had left and gone to college and all that, her father had gotten cancer, and it was a very tragic thing. And so I saw her at a store. She was working behind the counter, and I said, "How's your dad?" And she said, "Well, you know, he has cancer." And I made this statement. I said, "Oh," I said, "my wife's mom had cancer. On chemo." That was the wrong thing to say, because Robin's mom died of cancer. "Oh, really? Did it work?" "No, she died." That was the wrong thing to say, you see. And I had the knowledge, but I didn't use it rightly. And so I'm very careful about that now. And the Bible goes on to say, in Ephesians 4, 29 through 32, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying," or building up, "that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." What a shame it is that so many believers today have chosen to use the knowledge they have to tear down rather than to build up. I don't want to be a part of the critical crowd. I don't want to be a part of the crowd that tears someone else down. Say, "Well, what if it's true?" Not everything that's true needs to be said, you see. And I want to be one to encourage someone is to give that person a realization of their purpose in life. You know, there's a lot of things that can discourage people today. Health can discourage people. Relationships can discourage people. Money can discourage people. So many different things. Right now, we're living in a time it's all over the country. Sickness is everywhere. The price of eggs is out of sight. There's all kinds of things that are going on. We need to use our words to encourage people, not discourage people, to build people and to help them to grow and to help them to be strong in the Lord. And all too often Christians use their words carelessly, and in doing so, they remove a person's purpose. Interesting. I taught you a long time ago, maybe you don't remember this, maybe you do, but the word courage or encourage, how the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. The root meaning of the word courage, I looked it up and I studied it in the Old Testament and New, but the root meaning of the word is the word purpose. They look at a child who's doing wrongly and someone will say, "Discourage him from doing anything else. Take away his purpose from doing anything else wrong." Or encourage that individual. Give them purpose. Tell them they're doing a good job and encourage them along the way, you see, rather than tearing them down. Your encouraging words can build someone and help them to make the next step and not quit. Every one of us in this room, every one of us knows someone who has become discouraged and quit. Now, you may have tried to encourage them to keep going, and you may not have. But what I'm saying is there are people out there that need us to encourage them and to use our words. And I love the context of what we just now read. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 4, once again, where the Bible says, "Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You're sealed with him to the day of redemption. You're eternally secure. You'll never lose your salvation." But then it gives these things, what's going to grieve the Holy Spirit? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice, all those things. And then he says, this is what you ought to be doing. "And be ye kind one to another." Be ye kind one. You realize how far a kind word can go with someone if you're just kind to them? When I'm out in public, someone does something nice for me, maybe where I'm shopping or whatever, and I'll say, "Thank you for being so kind." And they usually will always sort of stand back and look at me like, kind? And I'll say, yeah, thank you for being so kind to me. I appreciate that. And today, have you noticed in businesses, a lot of people, you'll say something, they say, perfect, or that's perfect. Well, I've come up with a line that I always say to people when they say that. They'll ask me for some information, and I'll give them the information, and they'll go, perfect. And I say, thank you. I said, you're the first person that's called me perfect today. And they always grin, smile, laugh out loud, and all the rest of it. And if they say perfect again in the conversation, I say, that's twice. You've called me perfect today. They always smile. And by the way, this is why when I'm in public, and I think this is a good example to follow. That's why when I'm in public and I rush past someone, like I've told you at the post office, I'll say, howdy, howdy. And so often they'll look surprised that someone actually spoke to them. As a man, a lot of times a guy will say, how you doing? You know, that's their question for howdy, howdy. They say, how you doing? I actually answer that question. They say, how you doing? I say, I'm doing really well. How are you doing? And they stop, turn around, and look at me and tell me how they're doing. And then if they're above ground and they're trying to be, I want them to be encouraged, I say, it sure beats the alternative, doesn't it? And they always smile. Just a kind word to someone can go a long ways. And we all ought to be that way. I've mentioned this numerous times through the years, but many, many years ago, since we've been here in this building, I think it was Channel 11, the news, they had a thing where they said, did you go around doing random acts of kindness? Anybody remember that? I remember that, going random acts of kindness. And you know what? That has stuck with me. Just random acts of kindness. When we were in college, at the First Baptist Church, we had a campaign. It was called a Praise the Lord campaign. We had bumper stickers that said Praise the Lord. We had window stickers that were round that said Praise the Lord. And Brother Hiles encouraged us that when we answered the phone, we would say Praise the Lord. I thought, wow, now that's really a good thing to do. You know, after all these years, that was in the mid-70s, early mid-70s. I still answer the phone, Praise the Lord. When Joanna became secretary here, I said, you answer the phone, say, Praise the Lord, Timberline Baptist Church. What I don't like is when somebody answers the phone on their answering machine and they give you a Bible study and all their church services and all the hours that you're there, and they give you all kinds of information, and then they want you to leave a message. All we say is, Praise the Lord, Timberline Baptist Church. I did that today. Many times, the phone rang today quite a bit here at the church. And unless it's my wife calling me, I don't say, Praise the Lord, Timberline Baptist Church. I usually say hello to her. But what I'm saying is, I still say, Praise the Lord. And you know what? That wouldn't hurt you. I'm never going to ask you about it, but to answer your phone at home and say, good afternoon, Praise the Lord, or something like that. You'd be surprised how people would respond to that. There is a third way that I want to give you tonight, and I want to hurry through and make sure I get all 4 points done. The wise is going to use, number three, his knowledge to give direction. He's going to use his knowledge to give direction. James chapter 3, please, verses 2 through 5. The Bible says, for in many things we offend all. And if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue, it's comparing now to these different things. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. I've written down four things. The bridle, bit, and helm are all instruments of control. The wise will use his knowledge to give direction to the lives of others, help them make a right decision, a right choice in their life. And this is why we must be careful about where we get our knowledge. Too many believers today are getting their knowledge from the wrong source, and we know that's true. And the wise will stick to the word of God for his knowledge. Listen to these verses, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The word of God. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 119 and verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is teaching us, it means that the wise will guard very carefully his source of wisdom, you see. The last point I want to give you is this. The wise does not utter all that he knows. The wise does not utter all he knows. And that's important for a couple of reasons. First of all, advice unsought for is seldom heeded. If it's life-altering or life-changing, you can still give that. But a lot of people, they want to nose into everyone's business, and let me tell you what I think. The truth of the matter is it means that in most cases, the wise, it is wise not to speak until you have been spoken to. A lot of times I'm in a conversation with someone, and they will say something that I know is absolutely not wise or not right. And unless it's life-threatening, I don't say anything else I'm asked. They look at you and say, well, preacher, what do you think? And I've been in many situations over the years where somebody said, now, pastor, what do you think? And I say, you don't want to know what I think because I want to remain your friend. You just don't want to know what I think. Secondly, I said, first of all, advice unsought for is seldom heeded. But secondly, only the fool will utter all of his mind. Did you know that that's a biblical principle? Proverbs 29 and verse 11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. A fool will utter all his mind, but a wise person will keep it till afterwards. Having knowledge in a particular area does not mean that you have to speak all the knowledge that you have about that, you see. Those who are wise speak only what is necessary. For example, think about this. When giving a recommendation for a job placement or references for a college entrance, it is wise to speak what is necessary and no more. There are many today who are talkers. They're gabbers. They have the gift of gab. But often a Christian just needs to learn to shut his mouth and not say everything that's on his heart. For the sake of conversation, many Christians choose to talk and talk and talk. However, for the sake of using knowledge aright, Christians ought to choose to speak what they know when they are called upon to speak it. Is that true in 100% of the cases? No, there's always times when things just need to be said, of course, but not every time. And our opinion doesn't always have to be given to someone who may have an opposing opinion. Somebody taught me years ago that opinions are like belly buttons. They're all different, but everybody's got one, just the way that it is. And so, may we take the advice from Proverbs 15 and verse 2 and use our knowledge aright, you see, and how important that is to use our knowledge aright instead of needlessly hurting people by the careless use of things that we know. We just don't need to be hurting people with our words. It's a simple Bible study tonight about how a Christian, a child of God, one of God's own people, needs to use the knowledge that they have gained and to use it rightly, to know when to speak and when not to speak. As Abraham Lincoln said, it's better to be thought a fool. It's better to be silent and thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. And I think that's very, very true for an awful lot of us. So let's all stand for a closing word of prayer. That's my Bible study tonight. Let me give you those 4 points as you're standing. Number one, the wise will use his knowledge to warn the sinner of his future, the backslider of his fate, and the Christian of others' folly. Number two, the wise will use his knowledge to encourage. Thirdly, the wise will use his knowledge to give direction. And fourthly, the wise does not utter all that he knows. And let's bow for prayer.